We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I love Jesus. I'm not afraid to say that I love Jesus, because he loved me first. He loved me when I wasn't in right position with him. I was an enemy of his, and he loved me. He loved me enough to go to the cross, shed his blood, forgive me of my sins, and be the Lord of my life. He took me from a future apart from him, and he gave me the confidence, the hope, the assurance of a future with him. And so I just want to declare to you today, I love him. And I hope that you do too. And we need to tell him that. I believe we probably need to tell him that more. And so hopefully today you will have time where you can express that and just fall in love with Jesus. Worship him like he's deserving of worship. Let's put it that way. I want to say thank you to Jits Concrete 536-5804. They've done a number of projects at Merritt Assembly of God, and they do really, really fine work. And so if you have any concrete or block works that you need done, give them a call, 536-5804. If you've got a home renovation and you need a block contractor, they can definitely help you out. Maybe you got a project you're working on from the foundation up. They can help you with that as well. If it's a residential project, they can do that. Commercial, they can do that. Give them a call, 536-5804, and they will do a good job for you, I know. Do want to let you know, there is no vintage service today. There is no vintage service next week. And so if you were planning on coming, we don't cancel our vintage services very often. One of the last times we canceled, somebody showed up and on that particular day, and that was really one of the only times they'd ever been able to be there. And they said, we were just wondering what happened. So I told the church a little over a week ago, it's like, it's a good thing I'm a professional communicator, because I could get really insecure because of my communication failure. So please take note as much as possible that there is no 11 a.m. service today or next week on February the 17th. So we're talking in the Word of God about creating a culture of faith, and really excited about that because every person has that capability. And I'm going to be talking about that today. If you would, turn in your scriptures to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and it says in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I believe the King James Version there says the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And we're going to stop the reading there. So this is Paul writing to the Romans. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or another translation says, which is your spiritual worship. Kneeling and asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, that's very important. But when you get up from that prayer, there should be a different lifestyle that is led, because here is the reality. It says, for God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, or the measure of faith. Every person on the planet has been implanted with a seed of faith, a measure of faith. And I don't know what that measure looks like, but I do know that it is sufficient. Jesus said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. I do know that what God has placed in you is sufficient to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to decide what you are going to do with that. You have got to make the decision of what, if you're going to ignore it, if you're going to isolate it, if you are going to undermine it, if you are going to just completely and totally ignore it, not feed it or let it die. You've got to decide what you are going to do with that. And that is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. We have that. A lot of times we want to put all of the onus of responsibility upon God. But in reality, God has given this responsibility to us so that we can decide what we've got to do, what we're going to do with what he's given us. So may you manifest your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the life that you lead. And it says here very simply that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I want you to know, there is no more sacrifice that is necessary as far as laying on an altar and dying to atone for our sins. That work has already been done. Now, since Jesus has taken care of that, what God is looking for is a living sacrifice. A sacrifice where we are going to live for his purpose, for his glory. We are going to live in what pleases him. And he says that sacrifice looks like a holy sacrifice. It looks like a holy sacrifice. I wonder sometimes if we appreciate, especially when we come to church, if we appreciate the mindset that we are coming into the presence of the Holy One of Israel. You know, I think back when Moses had his encounter with God, and God said, Moses, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And, you know, I don't have a full theological understanding of that. I have some understanding of it. All I do know is that when Moses came into the holy presence of God, there was something that God said, you need to set this aside. You do not realize what a privilege this is. And I do know that when Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, had the vision of an open heaven, he fell down on his face and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am unclean, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I do know that he was overwhelmed with the holiness of God. And God said, you know, here is this coal, and I'm going to cleanse your lips. I do know that when people encounter angels in the scripture, they don't encounter these little cherub-faced, chubby-cheeked, little childlike images that just make you want to go up and hug them. Instead, when they encountered a holy angel from heaven, that they fell at as like dead people. They were just overwhelmed. You know, people would often be tempted to fall down and worship, and the angel would say, no, don't worship me. worship God. I'm just a created being as you are. I might look different, but I'm just a servant of the Most High God. Do not worship me. And I just talk to you. I pray that that we do not get into Christian celebrity worship. I don't think that God is into that. I don't want to worship anyone other than God. Everybody else is a faulty human being. Everyone else is redeemed by grace, but everyone has been given the measure of faith. And so he says, what we do, we need to do it as unto God. And he says, do not conform to this world. What does a living sacrifice look like? It does not look like the things that this world has. It looks different. It looks like a transformed life. And that word goes back to a Greek word from which we get the word metamorphosis. It causes a transformation. That's how an introvert like myself can end up being a person who speaks a lot. A person who used to be afraid of rejection now can go up and talk to people and say, you know, if they don't accept what I have to say, it's their loss, not my loss. A person who used to be intimidated by strangers can now go up to strangers and say, you know what, this may be the only opportunity that I have to invest in them. You may be driving through town, and this may be the only time that I get to speak into your life. And so I want you to know, God wants to transform us. Transform us. And I've done the butterfly illustration on here before, where a butterfly is limited to the ground and whatever that ground touches. And everything that caterpillar does at that point in time in its life is eat and eat and eat. It just consumes and consumes, and it becomes larger and larger. And what happens is, the larger it becomes, the more of a target, the more of a subject of prey that it becomes. And so it's literally all consumed with itself. You know, I've got to eat for myself. And then it goes into this metamorphosis process where it's cocooned. And in that cocoon, it is transformed, and it comes out as a butterfly. And the butterfly is no longer limited to what the things on the ground, but now it can soar in the heavenlies. No longer has it got the same image as it did before, but now it has wings with which it can fly. It has beauty upon it that it did not have before, and it also has a different nature. It is no longer consumed with what it's going to eat, but it is consumed with propagating life. That's the difference in a butterfly. And so I pray today that you and I, we would be transformed from being self-centered to being God-centered. Instead of being limited to the things of this earth, that we would create a culture of faith that says, God can transform me and make me into something that I've never been before. He can take me from something that there was a life of ugliness, of sin, and transform me into a life of the beauty of holiness. God can do that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's got to be a transformation that takes place. I will be honest with you. I've been serving God for a long time, and I'm still saying, God, would you continue to transform me? Right now, as my wife and I are away, we are my prayer is, God, I need you to transform me. I need you to take me to another level, God. I need you to take me from faith to faith. I don't want to just go through existence. I want to thrive in my relationship with Him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to think differently if you are ever going to be differently. You've got to start thinking the way God's word tells you to think. Think on the things that are lovely. I know we have a responsibility to cast our vote. It is a stewardship, and one day you are going to have to give an account for that. But I do not have to subject myself to all of the information and misinformation that they want to subject me to. I can think on things what God says. I can go into my prayer closet and I can hear from God, and I can think on the things that God wants me to think on, and not just the things, but the manner in which I think, the way that I process thoughts, the way that I process the way that people look at me and value the things that God values. I can transform according to that. And so I pray today that you will say, God, if I'm going to create a culture of faith, I need you to transform me. And like we talked about on yesterday's program, I want to believe you, I want to believe in you, and I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says that what's going to happen is you're going to be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's where the faith comes in. Because when we hear the will of God, it is going to be asking us to do things that we could never accomplish on our own. Now, I'm going to say something. You cannot pastor a church in your own wisdom and your own ability to the glory of God. Now, you might be able to do it to the glory of man, but I'm telling you, I was recounting a prayer that I prayed when I first came to the church. I can tell you it was in the month of January of 1993. I had been at the church for less than 6 weeks, and I locked up the doors one Sunday, and I was headed over to the building we lived in, and I said, God, I need you, because I feel like I have been thrust into the cockpit of a plane that is in a nosedive, and I don't know how to fly this plane. Now, I want you to know, I'd been in the ministry for 9 years. I had been youth pastor. I had been associate pastor, been a youth pastor again. And there were things that were beyond my understanding and my abilities. And God has turned that around. But I want you to know, after 23 years of being at Merit Assembly of God, I'm still crying out, God, in order for this church to go where you want it to go, we need you. It is beyond our ability. It is beyond our wisdom. We need you. We don't just need God's resources. We need him. We know what God's will for us is. And so therefore, we step out in faith. Verse number 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You see, everybody is confident in their own abilities, but God says here that if you're going to change the way that you think, you need to think of yourself soberly. Okay? It doesn't take me too long to realize that I am not going to be an NBA basketball player. Unless I own the team and sign myself to a contract, and that's not happening. I'm not doing that with my money, and I don't think anybody is going to will me a team. So my gifts are best served in another arena. So you need to think of yourself soberly. This is not pie in the sky. This is not thinking of yourself with your abilities. This is thinking of God's abilities. And I will tell you, we still need the gift of humility in the Church of Jesus Christ in 2016. We still need to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will give us grace. We still need to realize how desperately we need him after salvation as much as we needed him before salvation. We need him. Jonathan Edwards described man as dangling from a spider web over the flames of hell, And that spider web was the grace of God. Now I want you to know it's sufficient. It is sufficient. He can take you and set you on another path. Some people would say, well, he was just trying to scare people. No, what he was trying to do was get people to realize that there is more than just this life, more than just the food that you are going to eat and the clothes that you are going to wear and the house you are going to live in and the car that you will drive. It is more than that. It is more than the dollars in your bank account. There is more to life, and you need to realize that we need Jesus. We need Jesus desperately. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure or the measure of faith. And so I want you to know that God has given the same gift to everybody. And that is, he has placed the faith in every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to believe in God, to believe God, and to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. You have the ability. It is not whether or not you can, it is whether or not you will. Okay? So, I will not boast in the things that I have done, because it is the grace of God working inside of us. That is the reality. So, you think of yourself soberly because God has given to each one the measure of faith. Now, here's the thing. What are we going to do with that faith? Are we going to step out and use it in the will of God, or are we not? It's a very real question, because Jesus says that when he returns, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith, get this, on the earth? There are approximately 7 billion-ish people on planet Earth currently. And each one of them have been given a measure of faith, a sufficient measure of faith, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And yet Jesus says, when I return, will I find any? Will I find any faith on the earth? Now, I want you to know that you and I have the ability to answer that question. I can say, God, you will find it. You're going to find it in at least one location. You'll find it in me. Now, from an observation standpoint, I can tell you this, that I don't run into the problem of people believing God for too much nearly as frequently as I run into the problem of people believing God for too little. I want to encourage you to allow God to create a culture of faith in your life that says, God, I know this, you are going to find faith in at least me, because you gave me that gift, and I'm not going to ignore that gift. Mike Murdoch has a saying that says, that which you disrespect moves away from you. And if you disrespect that faith, it's going to be harder to find. You don't need to be waiting to discover the elements and the joy of the faith that God has given you until you're in a crisis. You need to be utilizing and growing in that faith right now. It is a gift. Faith is a gift. That's what I want to talk to you today. It is a gift from God, and God only gives good and perfect gifts. Some people might say, well, it was a defective gift. No, not if it came from God and God has given it to you. You say, well, I don't think I have faith. Well, I want to remind you, I believe God, and I believe in what God says. And he says that you do have faith, and he says that I do have faith, and that Merit Assembly of God has faith. And we want to believe God that he is going to use us to bring about the fulfillment of his will, and that will is taking the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people on planet Earth as we possibly can. And so today, my faith is that when Jesus returns, he will not only find faith isolated in me or isolated in you, but he will find it growing in influence, because we are not just sitting on our thumbs or twiddling our thumbs. We are actually out there employing the faith that God has given to us to accomplish the will that he has. See, it says here that you may, if you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, if you are presenting yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that if we are being transformed, then we're going to be able to prove, we're going to be able to know what that will of God is for us. And so I encourage you, know what it is and say, God, now that I know what it is, let me know what time. Let me know the timing. And God, I'm putting my faith, I'm going to utilize this measure of faith that you have given to us. You know, we had a potluck dinner here at our church a couple of weeks ago. We have one once a quarter on the fifth Sunday. And we have some other dinners. We've got our missions banquet coming up on the 21st. Want to invite you out to be a part of that. But one of the things that we have discovered through the years is that there's so many different dishes and so many different people helping to prepare that every once in a while somebody brings in something and it gets prepared in the microwave, but it gets left there. And we discover it the next time we go to the microwave, which hopefully has not been too long, that so that mold and other things have started growing in there. And we say, oh man, somebody brought this, but we didn't get to put it out. We didn't get to use it. Today, I pray that God would be birthing an excitement in you that says, God, I want to utilize this wonderful gift that you have given to me. Some people give gifts that look pretty but have no real form or function other than just to look pretty. God wants to give you gifts that you are going to be able to utilize, that are going to help you in the fulfillment of his will for your life. And that gift is the gift of faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in what God's word says. And I encourage you today, make the most out of that measure of faith that he has given. I want to do the most with it that I can, because I want as many people in heaven as we can possibly see there. Utilize the gifts that you have been given in accordance with the ministry that he has given to you. Use it in proportion to your faith. Let's close in prayer today, shall we? Father, we just want to thank you today for this wonderful gift of faith that you have given to us. And God, I pray that right now, that our personal life, that we'd be creating a culture of faith. You, God, right now, I pray that people's minds would be racing. God, what is it that you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? And God, we say yes to who you are and what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the great things that are going to take place. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.